Blog Talk Radio.
If there is anyone out there who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible, who still wonders if the dream of our founders is alive in our time, who still questions the power of our democracy, tonight is your answer.
Brown Sugar Radio is the food for your soul. Enriching lives with many possibilities, we embrace and uplift our community with love, laughter, and inspiration. Today, I encourage you to keep learning, keep smiling, but most of all, keep striving to make your dreams come true. It's time to believe in yourself and walk into your new journey. Buckle your seatbelts for another exciting segment on the hottest urban show on the internet. It's time to get up, Brown Sugar Radio Lord listeners. We've got work to do.
Well, hello there, and welcome back to another exciting segment here on the hottest show on Blog Talk. I'm your show host, Sugar, and I am thrilled today to have another powerhouse in the making, and I believe we have her on the line now, Tamika Newhouse. Welcome to Brown Sugar Radio. How are you today?
I'm excellent. How are you doing, Sugar?
Okay, look, I am thrilled because I was so excited to this show as I was learning just about the history of you and your dreams and overcoming so many obstacles in your life. But, girl, you made it happen. And that's what today is all about is, you know, dream catchers. You feel me? And I love just the fact that no matter what obstacle you may have faced, you're one of those I did it anyway type of women. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Holding it down. So that is phenomenal. Tamika, I'm so excited today. And then with a name like Newhouse, I mean, I just had to call you a powerhouse girl because you just bad to the bone. Go ahead, girl. Look. Oh, so I am just thrilled today, though, and many of the listeners in the chat. I did open up the chat box, so you're welcome to ask any questions, if you'd like, about our special guest for today, Authoritas. Is that how you say it? Authoritas? I want to make sure I'm saying it right.
What, Authoritas?
Authoritas, there you go. Okay, I'm calling you Authoritas. I'm trying to give you authority. Authoritas. Okay, look, that's how you get down with that. And basically, Tamika has wrote many phenomenal books, and her latest release, which certainly I want to plug and show her some love. But the wonderful thing, what I always like to ask my special guests when you come onto the air is certainly, what was it that intrigued you to go on this journey, this path in your life? So share a little bit, you know, as far as Tamika, what was it that inspired you to become an author, an authoress? Is that how you say it? I want to make, girl, I can't say that name. What,
an authoress.
Authoress. There we go.
Authoress. That's a female version of an author.
Okay. What, like actress.
Right, actress, exactly.
Gotcha. All right.
What motivated me to be an author? I didn't choose to be an author. This is what I always tell people. I didn't choose writing. Writing chose me. Ever since I was able to form a sentence or I understood English and I could quote out my alphabets and, you know, and I was writing short stories in second and third grade, I just fell in love with writing. I love to create stories and create lives. So that was going to be me regardless of if I wanted to be a writer or not. That's just who I was.
Your path, your destiny. That's what's up. And
exactly.
You knew it was like embedded in you. It was something that was predestined to happen. And so at a young age, you began writing. And usually it starts with journaling, is what I was told. Is that something
exactly.
that you would like maybe document certain things that happened in your life? Or tell us a little bit about your childhood, Tamika.
I documented everything. Growing up, my mother used to call me a pack rat. I used to keep every single piece of paper I could think of. It could be magazines, it could be clippings, newspapers, whatever. Like, I used to keep it all in my room. Like, my mother used to come, like, when I'd be at school, she would sneak in my room when I was at school and, like, clean out everything. And I'd be come home, I'd be so upset, and I'd be heartbroken because these papers, they meant everything to me. I don't care what it was. It could be, like, you know, just, like, a sales paper from out of the mail. And I just loved the color on it. And I just kept it because I loved the color of the papers and the textures of it. And I used to pretend that every single piece of paper was of some importance. I did a lot of journaling. I did a lot of short story writing. I had a sweetheart, high school sweetheart, and I made a scrapbook. Everything that he gave me, I put it in this scrapbook, even our love letters. Letters he wrote to me, I put in this book, and I still have that same book to this day. It's like I just document and keep everything.
Girl, you sound like me, okay? I keep everything. My husband's like, baby, really? We got to keep this 1983.
Right. You know you don't need it. You can't get rid of it. It's like, well, you never know, I may need it one day. And this is
right.
It's really unnecessary. But
exactly. You hear what I'm talking about. It's just something that's just monumental to that little piece of, you know, paper that you had since 1982 or whatever it may be. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, if that's the case, then heck, maybe I need to be an artist too, because I'm like, I hold on to some stuff. You know, many people say I keep scrapbook.
But I was
no hoarder.
Don't get it wrong. I was no hoarder. I just love to collect journals and papers. I have all these different empty journals my mother used to give me. She used to buy me the bounded journals where I could go in and I could write in it. And I used to just keep all of those. I have almost every single journal I've ever owned. And, you know, that's just me. That's just who I was. That was
See
my...
What I'm saying? That's awesome
kid.
Because I have always, you know, been impressed with people that can... Whether it's writing a biography or writing fiction, just having the patience to sit there and document and be very detail-oriented. And one of the things that was really fascinating about your story is the fact that I love your hometown. You're from Fort Worth, Texas, so we're going to give big ups to Texas today.
Big
but,
up,
you know,
Texas.
You... Okay, look. But, I mean, just really, truly, the books that you've published, I want to go over a few of them. I want to tell my listeners, though, before we go any further into the interview, that Tamika is a self-published, best-selling author, all right, who was founded by Delphine Publications at the age of only 21 years old. So that just goes to show the ambition and the drive that this sister has, okay? And the wonderful thing about Tamika is that she has already, you know, gotten herself lined up for many wonderful things in her future. But not only that, in 2009, she won the Self-Published Author of the Year African American Literacy Award, and that was only within 9 months of her debut novel. So, I mean, she is doing some awesome things, really moving and shaking, and got some great things in the works. And, you know, it takes a true visionary to have that type of focus and drive and to achieve such great things in a short amount of time. So, if you want to know what it takes to be successful, certainly you are tuned in to the right show today because, honey, Miss Newhouse is holding it down, doing some major things. And as we talk about her childhood, along the way, Tamika had overcome the fact that she was pregnant as a teenager, and yet she was still able to fulfill her dreams. And the wonderful thing, you know that saying, Tamika, where – they say, well, God will take what your enemy meant for evil and they'll turn it into something good, or you know what I mean? Just any obstacle you have. Right.
Yeah.
You know, he'll take your story and make it under his glory. Well, the wonderful thing about this is now Tamika presently tours the country. She's a motivational speaker. You know what I'm saying? And God used her as an inspiration to other young women. And so I'd love to get into that a little bit before we get more into your books and the wonderful events you have coming up. But just to know the background of where you came from, it's not where you start, it's where you finish. Tamika, shed some light on when you, I'm sure at the time when you found out you were pregnant, it might have been devastating and you really didn't know how God was going to use you. Let's get into that.
I like how you worded that. That is absolutely right. In it, of course, when everybody's going through their storm, they don't quite understand why God is doing this. And even often sometimes we even question God's judgment. And we're trying to figure out what it is that he's doing. Because, you know, it's like, this ain't fun. Like, come on, man, let's do something different. So when I became pregnant, I was 15. No, I don't know. I think I was 15 when I became pregnant. 16 when I had my daughter. And I was so young, and I was very clueless as to how a woman's body changes when she becomes pregnant with a baby.
Right.
And for the longest time, I had no symptoms at all. I was very, very small, very petite, and I had no symptoms at all. And it's just running on my family. We won't even have symptoms going into maybe in the middle of our second trimester. And so once I started to have, like, small symptoms, I was way past, you know, the point of even thinking, oh, I don't even want the child. It's too late for that. Even though I still had a flat stomach, going into, like, my fifth month is when I started to think that I was pregnant because I started feeling something in my, you know, within my belly. I didn't know what it was at the time because I was so young. I was so naive. I was so stupid. I didn't know.
Right.
But by the fifth month, you're feeling your child move. By 5 months, but although I have, like, a completely flat stomach, I'm feeling something constantly moving in my stomach. I'm like, what is that? But, you know, I'm ignoring it. I haven't had a period, things like that. So all of these other things are starting to factor up. And I stay in denial for maybe 2 months. And now I start to look like I'm pregnant in the face. Like, I'm spreading out a little bit, but my stomach is yet still very flat, completely flat.
Wow.
But I'm looking like I'm pregnant in the face. And my uncles and aunts and things, they're talking to my mother like, "You need something ain't right with Mika. You need to go take her to the doctor. She looks like she's pregnant in the face." Like I had the glow and my nose has spread. But then again, like I stated, I'm very small and petite and my stomach is completely flat. Well, my mother takes me to go see a doctor. This is maybe August of 2002. And the doctor, they tell me, yes, you are pregnant. But I'm over 7 months pregnant at this time.
Wow.
I'm lying.
Girl,
I'm
shut
like,
up. 7 months, Tamika. Wow.
7 months. Over 7 months. And I'm thinking maybe I'm about 3 months because I only started believing that I was probably pregnant only a couple months ago. But here I am, over 7 months. And my child, my baby is maybe the size of my hand in my stomach. Very small, not even growing. And so they
actually
all these different medicines and things like that. And long story short, I ended up becoming and looking like I was actually 7 months pregnant within 2 weeks. I ballooned. After taking all the medicine and things like that, I started to look like I was 7 months. And I was talked about from friends, family, all this because I was the baby out of 70-something cousins. I was the baby. No one ever expected me, like the nerd, when it always rode. I was always alone. I didn't go anywhere. I was a square. No one expected me to get pregnant. And so when I did, it seems like everyone had their own opinion, and nobody was really supportive. So it definitely was my storm, but now thinking back at it, I know that God took me through that whole process so that I could help someone else later on down the line and tell them my story and tell them what I went through.
Absolutely. And, you know, at that time, I'm sure, you're sitting here like, okay, really? You know what I'm saying? I got to be faced with this, but now it all makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
And just to be able to speak to other women and other young ladies that are facing this, you know, the first thing, especially as a woman, that we hear is, girl, you having that baby, you're going to have to put your dreams on the back burner.
Exactly.
I remember my mama used to tell me, don't get pregnant.
I hate that.
You're not going to have no life.
And it's not just if you're a teen. It's a woman, period. If you have a child and you're unmarried, you're like, okay, your dreams are over. No man is going to want you. You're going to forever be struggling.
Yes.
You're going to forever be government assistance. I mean, it's just so many discouraging things that is said to, you know, single mothers is the reason why I feel like, you know, some mothers never even strive to be something greater because they had been put down so much. So they start to believe.
Yes, bad negativity. Absolutely. Yes. Yes, absolutely. You're right. I think that, you know, one of the things that separates you from the ordinary teenage mother is the fact that you had a mindset that was light years ahead of most young ladies, you know, that have faced an obstacle. And you were able to say, you know what, yes, this is what I'm faced with, this is what I'm going through. However, in spite of, I'm still going to press my way, and I'm going to make some great things happen, and I'm going to be somebody, and I'm not going to allow this to stop me. It's all about your mindset, all about
right.
your mindset. And you just had a totally different mindset. And you know, the most important thing that you said right now, it doesn't matter if you're a teenage pregnancy or if you grown, if you're a grown woman. And if you're doing it by yourself, certainly that makes it even harder, you know, because when you have a child, it just really, really does. It takes dedication. It takes patience. And it is a sacrifice we make as mothers. But I remember I was sharing last night with my sister, I said it's a short-term sacrifice for a long-term gain, you know, and that's what we do as mothers. We may have to rearrange some things, but we make it happen. And I think your story is beautiful. And the one thing that I love is that, you know, you are a self-published authoress who is doing the thing. And that right there, self-published, that's letting me know that, yeah, you are independent, you are strong, and you are ambitious. You feel me? It takes a lot of more work to be self-published on the go. What, you probably selling books out your trunk or out at holding various, you know, book signing events. I mean, that in itself, that's a true businesswoman. So what I'd like to get into now, Tamika, is the story in regards to, you know, that journey of becoming a self-published best-selling author at that, okay? That's phenomenal.
Right. My story may be a little bit more unique because after giving birth to my daughter at 16, I had to grow up. I had a life of maybe like a 30-year-old. I was a mother, I was going to school, and I had a job as well. So everything that I did, it was not benefiting my love for writing. I forgot all about my dreams. I forgot all about my writings. I didn't write. Do that much writing in my last years of my adolescence. It wasn't until my own mother passed, and I was going on 20 years old, where I decided to pick up my pen and paper and write. I was highly depressed. And to top it all off, I was pregnant with my second child. Yes, 20. And I was about to have my second child. And so I needed like an escape goat. That same book that I ended up writing to be more of therapeutic for me ended up being the book that I launched my own company with. And I named that book The Ultimate No-No, and I named my company after my late mother, Delphine Jameson. The main reason why I even self-published was I stumbled across a lot of other authors through a network that I created called AANBC. Through that network, I started speaking with a lot of different authors and even book clubs and readers, and I discovered there were a lot of authors out there that published their own books. And here I was, since the age of 12, I've had this dream of being a published artist, and I thought it was like getting a record deal. I thought I had to make it really big, you know, to make this huge connection for this dream to even come true. And when I discovered that I could self-publish my own book, I didn't even think about submitting to any other companies. I went ahead and I did the whole process myself. And I think the main reason why I was successful at what I did because I was very aggressive and I adapted to my environment. I'm natural antisocial. I do not like to be around people. I like to stay at home. I'm a homebody. And I really don't even naturally know how to hold conversations. But going into this industry, I knew that I had to pitch my book. I had to push my – nobody else was going to push it but me. And so I had to adapt a whole other personality. So in other words, I had to become fake. I had to become this lively person, this person that could start conversations, this one that could command the presence in the room. I had to become her. And through that, I learned how to network. I rubbed shoulders with so many different people. I went out of state for the very first time, flew for the very first time, even before my first book even came out, to go promote and talk about my book. I was so excited about this book and excited that this was mine. This was something I could do that represented Tamika. It wasn't about my children. It wasn't about my marriage then. It wasn't about anything that, but just me. And I was excited about that. And so with that, I became really obsessive about that. So I feel that for anyone to be successful in anything that you do, you have to be obsessed about it and be consistent with it, you know, to make sure that you reach that level of success that you've always wanted to get.
And see, that right there is what takes, you know, true heart and dedication. You know, you didn't even try to go through the major publishers. You said, you know what, I'm going to seek my own route, my own path. And it's kind of like even in the music industry, I think about the artists that are independent today. The road might have been a little tougher, but the rewards are even that much greater. You feel me? And that's what it is when you're self-published, you know, you are building, you know, your character, you're building your business, you're really going through some things. It's like a growth period that God has us go through in order to become the person we are today, you know. And now you're going to have even a greater appreciation for that level of success because you work twice as hard as someone else who may have had a major publishing company behind them.
And not only that, too, what people fail to realize when they go into any business, any industry, you have to be self-sufficient and you have to be self-involved. Regardless if you're an artist and you have a major publishing deal or not, you have to be self-involved in promoting your own book. And nowadays, because it's so oversaturated with so many artists out here self-publishing and putting their books out, they're not the best products put together, you know, overall. It's not the best covers, it's not the best editing, so we're already being put inside of one bubble that all of our books are bad produced books, like they're low quality. So it makes it harder for those who actually do put in the effort and invest their monies into their products to make sure they have a great published book that's edited good and has a great cover. And so you have to realize that what you do on your own is going to affect if one of these major publishing companies are even going to look at you. Nowadays, a lot of people get major book deals from that route by going independent, doing a lot on their own, and then the publishing company is going to look at that and say, okay, if you did it on your own, imagine what you can do when we are behind you. And that's exactly what happened to me. I ended up signing a major book deal only 9 months after, you know, my very first book came out. And now I'm also in talks with another major company. But that's not my main goal. I love being independent. I love, you know, creating my own rules and creating my own lane. But when you sign a major book deal, you have to look at it as different opportunities. And for me, I look at it as for exposure. I'm never in anything that I do for money. Money will come, but initially you need to get into this thing for the love of it and for just the enjoyment of it and just stay consistent on it. And, of course, the level of success that you aim for, if the Lord says the same, you're going to get it.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, as I look back over the books that you've published, the titles are so catchy. And, you know, I want to ask you, you know, were these, I always ask authors this, you know, I'm like, okay, when you come up with the storyline, is a little bit of it your own personal life, you know, with a twist of creativity on it? I want to shout out some of the books that Tamika has already published. We have The Ultimate No-No, The Ultimate Moment, No Regrets, Will Love Ever Know Me, Cookie, A Fort Worth Story, and then we have Cookie 2, Lyric Song. And I just want to, The Ultimate No-No. I'm just like, okay, you got to share a little bit as far as the storyline behind that, because just the title of that makes me curious, you know what I'm saying?
The Ultimate No-No has been my very best friend. That, like, I love what this book has done for me, and I'm very grateful for the success that it has done. That's the book that I'm most known for, is The Ultimate No-No. That is the book that I wrote when I was 19 years old, based around four young girls who just graduated college, and one of those girls told us the secret. She used to date a guy back in the day that they all agree on as the number one guy in Fort Worth that you should never date. He's a hoe. He's a heartbreaker. You know, he does the most to women. But she kept it a secret. But 4 years later, she sees him. All of her anger resurfaces. She reveals to her friends, you know what, I used to date him, but now I want to get him back. So they ask her, well, how do you want to do that? Well, they have a best friend named Mitra, who's a part of the group, and she reflects me the most. She's beautiful. She's confident. She has really dark chocolate skin. And so men are attracted to her because of the color of her skin, basically. And so they ask her, they say, Nisha, I want you to date him, make him fall in love with you. Don't have sex with him because he still is my ex, but I want you to break his heart so that he can know how I feel. Well, in the process of Mitra doing this whole scam, she discovers that this guy isn't as bad as, you know, everyone believes and portrays him to be. He's a heartbreaker, but he has there's a foundation to the reason why he is the way that he is. And so when Mitra decides to forget about the scam and date this guy seriously, all hell breaks loose. And so this scam affects these different women in four different ways, because it's four women, they all have this storyline. And the book goes on for three different series, and I'm actually writing part four that's going to be coming out next year. So that's where the ultimate moment of regrets comes in, which is part two. And part three, Will Love Ever Know Me, which came out 2011, I want to say. And then I will have Charmaine's song, which is going to come out in 2013 of next year. So I'm excited.
Okay. I mean, look at you. Just constantly on the move. And then that's how you keep your readers, you know, enticed or intrigued with what's the next thing. You know, you got them on the edge of their seats waiting to see what are the works next, you know, of this Bad to the Bone sister, because you are making some great things happen. And, you know, I got to do nothing but just take off my hat and applaud you, because, I mean, it takes a lot of discipline. And not only that, but you also have the hat of motherhood. You know what I'm saying? And so how would you balance? I know writing books, it takes a tremendous amount of focus, you know. How do you balance your motherhood along with your career as an authoress?
Woo, okay, so how I balance my motherhood? I have two children. I have no plans to have any more, but, hey, I don't think you're probably...
Right.
I mean, I'm only 26, so you never know, but I refuse to be one of those mothers that had their first child so young and then their child grows up and they pregnant together. I don't want that to be me. I don't want to be pregnant with my child. I don't want that to be me. So I have my two children. I'm praying that that's it, but who knows, and I keep them busy, so that they won't realize that I'm busy. And so I make sure that, you know, they go to school, obviously, and then I have them in an after-school program that gives them extra tutoring. They also get to be around other kids, physical activity, things like that. I have my son who wants to play baseball. He wants to grow up to be a baseball player, and he's 5 years old. And then I have my daughter who's about to turn 10 next month. Is it next month? No, in October. She turns 10
okay. You're like, let me keep track.
I'm like, wait a minute, what month is it? I was like,
you know what I'm saying? Girl, the year going too fast.
But then I have her involved in Girl Scouts. So with me keeping them busy, they don't realize that I'm busy. And the weekends, I dedicate it for them. We go somewhere every weekend. We go out to eat, or we go to a theme park. Like last weekend, we went to go do race car driving. And then this little boat thingy, whatever. But I'm always doing something with them every weekend. If I so happen to find myself out of town, they're always with their daddy, which I'm very blessed and very humbled to be able to have a father that's in their life, and we co-parent. So he does 50% of the work, I do the other 50.
See, that is a blessing.
It
is.
Yeah, that's a blessing.
It truly is. Yeah.
That's rare, too. That's rare.
Right.
Because he was, you know, he was a teen father as well, you know. And
uh-huh.
He has two sisters together. And so he had to grow up quickly, just as I had to, and that's very rare that you have a young man like that that took up his responsibilities being a teen father. And, you know, he stepped up to the plate, and, you know, we just do it together, 50-50.
Had to grow up together. Absolutely. Well, look, you know, that is, you're right, rare, because most young men, and I want to go ahead and give him his props, that would have gotten a 15 or 16-year-old girl pregnant, would have been gone, you know. So it is a rare breed. That's good he hung around.
I wasn't a regular 15-year-old.
Okay.
I was cutthroat. Like, a lot of, he grew up on the south side of Fort Worth, which isn't the best neighborhood to grow up in. A lot of drugs, you know, gang violence, things like that. he just grew up in a really bad environment. And I grew up in a white neighborhood. And so I used to encourage him to do so much other things because I was given opportunities that he wasn't actually given. And so I feel like we kind of balanced each other out. I kind of got to know how his world was. He kind of got to know how my world was. And then I encouraged him to go into the military services. And so it's like we kind of helped each other. So we definitely have to grow up together. And he's, even to this day, he is still my best friend.
Aw, that is so beautiful.
So I want to shout out Marcus. I want to give a shout out to Marcus and thank you
okay.
for holding me down. And
hey, Marcus holding it down. What? Oh, wow. Mad kudos to you, okay? Fatherhood. Wow, what a beauty. You know, I think that, you know that saying, it takes a village to raise one child?
Right.
You need as much help as you can get nowadays. Goodness.
Yes.
Wow. Well, that's phenomenal. You know, just hearing your story certainly does inspire me, you know, along with my listeners today. I want a real quick shout out the listeners that are in the chat. Thank you all for joining us. I see you guys are in there deep. Also, all of the listeners that are joining us via Facebook and Twitter. We have our special guest, Tamika Newhouse, on today, and I want to show her some love. Make sure you support her. She does have several links and social networks where you can follow her at and get her latest books that she's going to be releasing. And, I mean, she's just got some wonderful things that are taking place. The latest book that she has is Kisses Don't Lie, and that was released in March of this year. And then she has another book. Now, has He's My Favorite Mistake? That has been released, correct?
Yes, that came out in March, yes.
Okay, beautiful. And she's got another one coming out in 2013. So, I mean, the sister's got some great things going on, and you definitely want to make sure you take advantage of that because, hey, you know, I love supporting our people. You know, you're doing something positive with yourself, and that's what's up, you know, being a great role model. And so thank you all of you who are in the chat, and make sure you lock Brown Sugar Radio into your favorites so you'll be notified when we have special guests such as Tamika today. And, you know, Tamika, what would you say, before we close, what would you say is the most important thing that you could, I say advice, not thing, what is the most important bit of advice that you can give to someone who right now, they have a goal, they have an aspiration, they desire to achieve it, but it doesn't look like they're able to make that happen? What would you tell them to stay focused? You know what I'm saying? What would you give them right now? They feel like, hey, I got too many roadblocks. I want to quit. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You said it. You said it best early, and I always tell people too that I would rather work like a slave today. If I have to work like a slave today for the next year, for the next 2 years, whatever, I would do that. Up to maybe even 5 years, because I'm going into my fifth year of constantly working like a slave, to be honest, to have a lifetime of bliss. I don't want to be that person in my 40s and my 50s, and I still have to work full-time for someone else. I don't want to do that. I don't want to help somebody else make money. I don't want to do that. I want to be able to retire in my 40s if I want to. I want to be the one that's calling the shots. I like to be the one that makes my own avenues and creates my own goals. Like, that's the type of person I am. And I encourage those who are feeling discouraged and, you know, they feel like they want to give up. But I always, yeah, I say, if you give up, then what? You're going to be in the same situation. Next year, you're going to still be in the same situation. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I look at all of my cousins. And like I stated, I'm the youngest of 70-something cousins, aging on up to almost 50 years old. And I'm the baby. I'm 26. And none of them have went to college and graduated. None of them. And I didn't even go to college and graduated, but I'm the only one that actually went out and pursued a dream and is working for themselves. So I encourage you to create that to-do list. Start from number one. And complete the goals you need to complete to get number one done. Once you get number one done, okay, let's go to number two. What are the goals you have to do to complete number two? And keep going. This is a never-ending hustle. You're always going to be hustling. And until the day you die, there's something that you should always be doing, working towards your dream. and your ultimate goal. Everybody has a purpose on this planet. Everybody has given us a purpose. And so you have to develop those characteristics, obsession and consistency, to be successful in my world. And so as soon as you develop those characteristics and you create that to-do list, you should be good to go. But never give up. If you give up, then what?
Okay, then what? I like that. If you give up, then what?
Right,
for real,
right.
You're
you
stuck
ain't got
in
no
the
answer
same
for
way.
That. Like, you don't have an answer.
Right.
Like, you don't.
Okay, that's the motto of the day. If you give up, then what? I like that. I'm going to have to tweet that to Mika.
I like that.
Okay, yes, that's it. Well, certainly what I'd love to do now is have you go ahead and plug any of your websites, social media networks where my listeners can follow you at, because I definitely want to show you some love.
I appreciate it, Sugar. Thank you so much for having me on. Anyone that wants to find me on social media sites, you can find me on Facebook at Boss Lady Tamika Newhouse. I'm on Twitter at Tamika Newhouse. You can also Instagram me at Boss Lady Tamika. My blog is PassionateSpots.com. My website is TamikaNewhouse.com. My publishing company is DelphinePublications.com. And that's pretty much it. If you forget any of these links that I've mentioned to you, if you simply Google my name, Tamika Newhouse, the top links that will come up is my blog, my Twitter, my website, even my publishing company. So I hope that you definitely go and check me out. If all else fails and you don't want to read any of my books, hey, well, tell someone about my story and let them know if she can do it, then you can do it. There's no excuse.
That's it. No excuse. Huh. I like to say all the excuses was nailed to the cross. Amen.
I like that.
Let it go, baby. Let it go. Hey. Well, listen, I have enjoyed you, Tamika, and certainly, you know, I want to continue to follow your story. It'll be wonderful to have you back later on next year when you're launching your new book. Certainly contact me. You know I'll support you. And listeners, all of my loyal listeners, please make sure go out and buy the books. You know what I'm saying? Support a woman that got a hustle that is legal and positive. Amen. Something that is encouraging and inspiring. You know, so much negativity in the world. And it's good to see something that is influential and you know, just inspiring. Overall, just your whole story is very something, it's very intriguing, you know, to look and say, wow, she came from, you know, being devastated at a teenager, not knowing what was going to be her next move to making her best move. So I love it, Tamika. And certainly make sure you stay in contact with me. I believe we're following each other on Twitter, which is amazing. So we'll keep in touch. And, you know, one last thing I wanted to have you do before you go is, do you have any special events that you're going to be at where maybe your fans can reach at?
Yes, if you are in the Atlanta, Georgia area, I will be at the Decatur Book Festival next weekend. I will also be at the For Sisters Only, which will be next month on the 15th and 16th. Also, I'll be in New York City the very last weekend of September. I'll be doing a launch party for my blog, Passionate Spot. It's my new lifestyle blog that I'm going to be doing. Also, will be at the African American Literary Award Show. I will be in Philadelphia at the Weave Bar doing a meet and greet. And then the weekend after that, I'll be in New York still at the Sacred Sisters. I have way more events coming up, so if you definitely want to know where I'm going to be at, go to my website, TamikaNewhouse.com, click on itinerary, and you'll see where I'll be. But next year, I definitely will be in New Orleans. I'll be in Memphis. I'll be in New York. I'll be in Miami. I'll be in Chicago. I'll be in Austin. I'll be in a lot of different places, so make sure you just – oh, and I'll be in Cleveland. I've never been to Cleveland next year, so – definitely
get it, girl.
Follow on Twitter. And,
okay, she's a true boss. You hear me? She howling it. Girl, work it out. Work it on out. You know that song that's going through my head right now? That Rick Ross song, Hustle. Hustle. Hard.
Right.
I think, man, she's hustling. I put it in there. I said, she puts the H in hustle. Well, girl, keep doing what you do. And, I mean, I see you certainly making some major impact, you know, not just culturally as far as with the African-American community, but nationwide. You know, as Americans as a whole, I see you doing some phenomenal things with women and the youth. And so just, girl, I am so, so proud of you. And I just want to say thank you for taking the time out, Tamika, to join us today on Brown Sugar Radio.
Thank you, ma'am. Be blessed.
All right. All right. Well, there you have it. We have powerhouse Tamika doing her thing. You got to make sure you follow her, tweet her, Google her, all those good things, because Tamika's got some awesome things going on. The quote of the day that I want to leave you with, dream big, achieve big, and never give up on your goals. When you're a kid, you see the life you want, and it never crosses your mind that it's not going to turn out that way. All right, well, you guys have a fantastic day. It's your show host, Brown Sugar, and I have enjoyed each and every single one of you. Thank you for tuning in to Brown Sugar Radio, where entertainment is extraordinary. Make it a fantastic day.